Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. Brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? If it's your first time listening to the Frederick Faith Debate, welcome. You're in for a wild ride. Not really, because look who I have in the studio with me. Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Dan Sexton, the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Ellicott City. If you're listening, last week we talked about the inauguration, and we'll think leading up to the inauguration. That's now behind us, so let's get over it already and move on to other topics, all right?
Great.
Well, you said that with much enthusiasm. Well,
I bet the news media is not letting us get past it.
For quite a while,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But speaking of the news media, I did want to kind of kickstart what we're going to talk about today with this article, like a Dear Abby thing from the newspaper. Okay?
You're so eclectic.
Yeah. The title on this, you can
see. Do you read these every day?
No. This one just kind of captured my attention. This is the Thursday, December 18th edition of last year.
Uh-huh.
Orchestrated greetings strike sour note with churchgoers. And so that headline kind of caught my attention. Huh, what's that?
Orchestrated greetings.
I will say, on occasion, to answer your question a little more fully, I will glance quickly kind of...
Have you ever written to Dear Abby?
No.
Okay. Like have you ever read Hints from Heloise?
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But in like 15, 30 seconds or less, I'll try to scan really quick and kind of see where she's going with some of her advice and kind of see, you know, what I make of that advice, whether I feel like it fits with my worldview, that sort of thing. But I don't read it on any sort of regular basis. I don't want to give the impression that I do. Not that if you do, there's a problem with that.
Hopefully we won't have to print a retraction of
I'm
what
just
he just
trying,
said.
I'm just trying to be accurate in my response. Anyway, Dear Abby, I take exception to your reply to minister's daughter, Cayucos, California, September 8th, who objected to the greeting and handshaking moment during church service that is dictated by the minister.
Mm.
I happen to agree wholeheartedly with daughter's sentiments, as do many other members of my church. We feel that the moment is manipulated, interrupts the flow of the service, and creates a false
Bonhomie.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Bonhomie, you know, feel good, rapport, reparte, wow. We're all just good friends.
Word of the day, bonhomie.
Bonhomie.
It's fun to say, I'll say that, bonhomie.
Yeah.
It sounds like is it a foreign word? It sounds like a foreign
actually,
word.
Actually, yeah. I think it's Irish, bonhomie.
Is it really?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you should know that then.
Yes.
Dan's Irish.
Yes. Sexton.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's great with gravy on it, too.
That's right. Can we get some potatoes with that?
We're interrupting the letter to Abby.
Oh, right. Sorry,
very,
Abby.
Very rude of us.
Yes, please forgive us.
So, where are we? We feel the moment of bonhomie. None of us is unfriendly, ungracious, or reluctant to make others feel welcome in our church, but we would prefer to do it spontaneously.
Yeah.
Before or after the service, when we actually feel moved to make the gesture. Lynn in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, Dear Lynn, Abby responds,
okay.
I understand your sentiments. That said, I stand by my answer. I told minister's daughter that I didn't think it was too much to ask to reach out for a moment to ensure that everyone felt included. However, I received a ton of mail on this subject, and opinions were decidedly mixed. Read on. Now, I don't know if I need to read on. I think that sets the stage for what we want to talk about. First of all, does your church have a section where in the middle of everything you say, by the way, let's pause, and for the next 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 12 hours, whatever the period of time might be, meet your neighbor. Like in a Roman Catholic context, it's, you know, offer the person next to you the sign of peace or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe peace be with you, peace be with you. That happens. And you know, a lot of churches will just say, hey, let's take a break for 5 minutes and go chit-chat amongst yourselves for a while, whatever. Do you guys do that?
Yeah, we do that. And it's usually a good 5 to 7 minutes that we do it. The sound guy brings music back up and people will talk and embrace and hug and use it as an opportunity to run to the bathroom if they need to.
Now, John, Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Along those lines, can I ask how long your services tend to go?
About an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes.
Hmm. We also take a break. We probably go about 5 minutes.
Okay, why do you do that?
Well, I think a couple reasons. Practically speaking, it gives the worship band a chance to get off the platform and get down to their seats and that kind of thing. But it's just, I guess, tradition, maybe. It's always been part of it. It was part of the church I was in before. We planted this church, and so I guess tradition.
Similar reasons at Crossroads? Practical reasons?
I'm trying to see if I can come up with some kind of a deep, theological reason, but I don't think there is, you know.
Romans chapter 7, verse 8 says...
I mean, when we come off, you know, being a more charismatic, contemporary congregation, we've been singing together. Oftentimes people have read different scriptures, or maybe they've had the chance to pray, you know, for together about some, you know, ministry or something in the congregation. Just kind of gives a chance for everybody to connect. It gives a chance for the moms or dads to take their kids out to the nursery. Mm-hmm. We take our offering during that same time, you know, so people come up and put their offering in the basket during the same time. So it's just kind of, there's a bunch of things that happen right there. Though I would tend to agree that every good conversation that you're going to kind of get started in that few minutes is going to end up being frustrated because, I mean, a good conversation is going to tend to go just a little bit longer than that. Yeah.
And a half minutes anyway.
So, I mean, the thing is that...
That's why we go 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can really round out the conversation.
Yeah. It's amazing how much can be done in an extra 2 minutes.
Would you ever consider doing away with that part of that section of the service?
Again, I'd have to go back. Yeah, but
I'm not
think,
sold on it. I don't have to do
it. So what would have to happen? Like, would you have to have people come and write you letters like Lynn from Charlottesville?
See, I think for us, it's probably the same with your church, John. I mean, we're the body of Christ, and Jesus said that people will know us by our love one for another. There's fellowship going on before the service. There's fellowship going on after the service. And I think even though it's only 5 or 10 minutes long, there's genuine fellowship going on during those 5 minutes. It's it's not just a formal kind of sterile, you know, peace be with you and a handshake and you sit back down. People are really embracing. You see people walking across the auditorium to see someone or talk to someone. I mean, there's real connection going on.
The question
is,
and I wonder if this is what you're driving at, the question is, what's the goal of the service? Why do we get together in the first place? Do we get together just to sing together? Do we get, you know, like in some churches, you know, you sing a hymn, stand up, sing a hymn, you sit down, you know, somebody reads the scripture, stand up, sing another hymn, sit down, you know, and you maybe have a special song or something, then, you know, you stand up, you sing another hymn, sit down, you take the offering. I mean, there's all kinds of different liturgies that congregations have for various reasons. And the point is that we're to be the body of Christ. Part of that is fellowship, greet one another, look each other in the eye with a genuine look that just says hello. You know, some people get to church late, so they can't do it ahead of time. Some people have to leave right afterwards, so they can't do it afterwards. You know, it just gives that, you know, a little bit of a chance in the middle to connect with one another and to say hi. You know, in our church, we have home groups as well that we encourage people to be a part of during the week. And so, you know, maybe they just haven't seen each other for a couple days. You know, hey, I just want to say hi, or hey, we were praying for you. I saw that thing go around in the email. How you doing? You know, just a little bit extra opportunity for people to be human and to connect with one another, you know, around our fellowship, you know, of the ministry of Jesus Christ.
I think, too, in just watching the congregation, there are people that you can tell it's awkward for them. Maybe they're uncomfortable with it, and they'll say hi to the person right behind them and then sit down and kind of look through their bulletin or something and not really interact with people. But I think overall, people enjoy it.
You know, on something like Dear Abby, I'd love to meet the person. And so often when you meet somebody and you find out their personality, you get a read on what they're like, you know, can go a long way, or even the congregation, you know, to understanding what's going on there. You know, it sounds to me like there's probably other issues involved. You know, there's a little bit of bitterness and resentment that that you know, clearly comes across. They feel manipulated. Well, feeling manipulated is something that tends to, you know, pile on if you're for some reason maybe in a congregation where the spiritual leadership is manipulative, maybe, you know, a little bit off. You know, so it's such a complex question that to answer it at just the surface level, I think probably ends up missing.
Well, my
what
experience,
people are writing
about. I don't know that my experience, you know, is at all representative necessarily, but it might connect with certain people.
You're pretty normal.
Pretty.
Just for the record, I felt like that needed to be said on the radio.
But my experience, you know, I've been at a number of churches over the years, and my experience has been those churches that already have a relatively close-knit feel to them, where they're kind of connected anyway, where they're talking before the service and after the service. In those churches where they have a moment where you get together in the middle of the service for 3 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is, it feels quite quite less awkward than the churches that don't have that cohesiveness. Mm. And then it does feel forced, and there's an antiseptic feeling, like, okay, this feels really creepy. Like, yeah. I'm pretending to be really nice and warm toward this person who I don't even really know.
Yeah, the pastor's just working really hard to try to get us connected right. with each other.
It's almost spooky. You know, like, right. okay, it's very off-putting. So maybe, I don't know what kind of church this person goes to, but she might go to a really large uh-huh. church where she doesn't know the people she's around, and it's like, okay, I'm supposed to like pretend I care about these people. I don't even know them. So maybe that's part of it.
I know one church that's a couple thousand people that literally every Sunday they require people to stop, turn around, and pray with two or three other people, you know, share prayer requests real quick and pray with one another. And I was there, and I was like, whoa, I'm going to share like right now with these people that I've never met before. And yet, you know, if it's a pattern, and pattern is key, you know, if it's a pattern that you do these kinds of things, then you end up finding ways to milk it for all it's worth. You know, but, you know, if there's a reason to be resisting what's going on in the congregation, then there's all kinds of reasons to be frustrated with it, you know, and to resist it. And so, again, the spirit of how it's presented, what's going on in the congregation, change, and those kinds of things.
Here's a related question, but coming at it from a different angle. You guys ever notice that people in your church have a tendency to sit in kind of the same place?
Absolutely.
You ever thought about, like, you know, having a forced seat exchange? Stand up in the middle of the service. All right, you guys go sit over there. You guys go sit over there.
We're going to play music. Yeah. We're going to take away chairs.
You guys ever do that?
There's none left, and you got to leave.
No.
You should do that.
No.
Let me know the Sunday you do it. I'll show up.
You know, for me, I don't know if this is true for you.
See, now that would feel very manipulated.
Yeah, but it'd be fun.
Very forced.
Yeah.
It'd be fun, though.
You're right. And the purpose of church is fun.
Absolutely.
And laughter. Right. Joy, right?
It's one of the purposes.
Yes, yes.
Why not?
Yes, yes. One of these days, perhaps, you will have a chance to be a pastor.
Yeah.
I look forward to that day.
I think, you know, from a pastor's point of view, I like that the people sit in the same place every week. And I can notice if someone hasn't been there for a couple
weeks. That's
right.
Then when I'm preaching and I know I'm coming up to a certain part, I can make sure to look over at them.
Yeah.
You know, just the right point in the middle.
Or the other thing, too, is, you know, the same people start to doze off every week. And so you don't have to worry about eye contact. I can always look at that guy. He's not going to make eye contact.
Wow, you're getting the inside skinny right
now.
Yeah. Yeah. You're letting the cat out the bag.
Apparently, if you doze off consistently, pastor lets you go.
It makes it easier for me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, let's see if any of these other responses spark any additional conversation.
I will say, too, for me, the first time I really set foot in a church, I was 25. And during the greeting time, I distinctly remember during the greeting time, the guy in front of me turning around, and I just shook his hand and said, "How you doing?" And he started asking me these questions about myself, you know. And here I was. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't born again or anything. I'm just first time in church. And this guy is, "Hey, where are you from? What do you know?
What's your favorite color?"
Yeah, all these. And I'm thinking to myself,
"Do you have a dog growing up?
I don't even know this guy. Like, what do you know?"
And so I just kind of wigged you out?
A little bit,
too
yeah,
much?
Yeah. And in fact, what was really funny for me was there was a guy at that church, at Calvary Chapel Gulf Breeze, that was a taller guy, and he had a beard, and he had long hair, and he was married to a girl that was my wife, or my girlfriend at the time. It was a friend of hers from elementary school that they grew up together. And my wife and his wife knew each other. And he was born again, on fire, full of the Holy Spirit. And this guy looked like Jesus. He had the long hair and the beard.
Yeah.
And during the greeting time, this guy would come and find me and give me a big hug, and, "Oh, I love you, man. I'm so glad you're here."
Yeah, like
and
every
it used
time.
To freak me out. Yeah. And plus, he looked like Jesus. You know, it was really wigging me out that this guy would do this. But
see, this
I'm
this,
okay. I'm a pastor
like,
now. I'm okay. You know, it worked
this is
out.
One of the biggest problems with church, because for people that have been there for a while, warm greetings, they know one another. But for people that are new, it's kind of like a first date. And on a first date, you don't want to act too familiar.
because if you act too familiar, like you're saying, it kind of wigs people out. But at the same time, you want to communicate that you're interested in something more. And so there's kind of that in between. What do they want more? You know, well, I kind of want more, you know, and do we go on a second date? You know, and so there's that sense with you know, when you have a visitor that you want to be warm, you want to embrace them. But, you know,
yeah.
You know, what does it mean when you've gone too far, you know, and you're too familiar with somebody?
And
you know, it's striking a healthy balance. There is something of a cultural thing, and we're such a multicultural society anymore, where there's no norm socially, that it's hard to strike a balance that everybody that comes in is going to feel comfortable with.
And, you know, going back to something you said a few minutes ago about being in a church where they had everybody pray for one another, we've done that a few times in our church. A lot of times, if a lot of people are coming up before the service with issues going on in their lives, they're heavy about something, and I can just sense, but you know, the Holy Spirit's shown me that,
yeah,
man, there's a lot of stuff going on in the church right now.
Yeah.
And instead of doing the normal greeting of saying, hey, turn to someone and say hello, I'll say, hey, why don't you get in groups of three or four and just share one thing that you want prayer for. You don't have to go into any detail, and the person next to you just pray just a couple sentences for you.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you'll see people that kind of, you know, the blood drains out of their face at the thought of that.
Yeah.
But almost every time I've had someone come up to me afterwards
say,
and say,
thank you so much. Yeah.
I've never prayed out loud for someone before.
Right, right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, too, you have to keep in mind, you know, you want to be sensitive to people that are new there or whatever, or visiting for the first time. But the church is for the body of Christ. It's for the believers, you know, and for us to minister one to another.
Coming back to the question about manipulation and that kind of thing, I'm of the opinion that Sunday morning is a discipleship time.
Right.
You know, you're not just there just to go through rituals, because that's what you're supposed to do in order to receive the grace of God. But it's a time, you know, for us all to grow, to be more Christ-like. And so the leadership of the congregation should have a certain vision and a certain, you know, sense that they're wanting to lead the congregation into more growth, into more Christ-likeness, and, you know, to have them practice greeting one another. Well, I mean, you practice everything else in life. You know, you go out to soccer practice, and you practice dribbling, you practice shooting, you practice.
We don't practice this show.
Why not? Yeah,
you can tell by the quality. No,
I've been very concerned about that. Yeah, you let the cat out the bag that time. Now they know. They wondered.
Now they knew.
They knew. So, anyways, yes.
You're listening to Frederick Faith of 8 on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Jonathan Schweitzer, say hello.
Hello.
That's Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
I practiced that.
And Dan Sexton, say hello.
Hello.
Senior pastor at Calvary of Chapel in Ellicott City. I had him say hello so you could connect the voices with the names, so you know who to be mad at. These are the last two letters on the subject to Abby. All right, I'll read them.
Okay.
When I attended church with my husband and family, I never cared for the forced greeting custom. Mm-hmm. However, now that I'm divorced and attend church alone, I realize that the human contact is priceless.
He's looking to find a date during the greeting time at church?
One Sunday, our minister said, turn to the people next to you and tell them they are beautiful. I turned, and the woman next to me said, hello, has anyone told you that you are beautiful? Even though it was a forced greeting, it touched my heart. Mm. Speaking as someone who lives alone and who never hears those words, it brightens my day. Mm. The greeting, like the church and life, is not about what you get, but about what you give to someone else. Mm. Greet her with a new attitude.
Very interesting.
So, by the way, whether you're going to church today or not, go find somebody and tell them that they look beautiful, huh? Seriously.
Troy, I bet nobody said that to you for a while. You look beautiful.
See, now, why would you bet that?
I know. Well, that's the thing. It was a backhanded compliment.
They kind of canceled it out, right?
Totally,
there.
Right, right. Yeah.
But, you know, I think, though, you look at the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus touched untouchables. He physically laid his hands upon lepers. You know, and I think there was something to that with him, with touching people that no one else was willing to touch.
Hmm.
And I think a greeting time, that might be the only time someone sitting in the congregation interacts with another human being all week, you know, or has a polite thing said to them, or a hand put on a shoulder, or to shake their hand, or a hug. You know, my wife is very careful, especially with women, and if they're a woman by themselves, she'll make a point to touch their shoulder or to hug them, even if they're uncomfortable with it, she'll do it.
And the reality is men need that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're single men, they don't have a chance to connect with people.
Yeah.
But the men in the churches, if the woman's uncomfortable, don't touch her and embrace her. If
women,
be careful.
Right. Yes. I think especially in our society here, you know, I moved up here from the Bible Belt and from the South where, you know, you say hello to people on the street. You say hello to strangers down there. You don't do that here. You know, people here keep to themselves for the most part.
That's true.
And so I think there's something about that physical interaction that takes place during a greeting time or before or after a service that's important for people because they're not getting it out in the world here.
Well said.
Here's the last letter to Abby.
Okay.
We started this type of greeting years ago, and I also think more people don't like it. I hate it when people cover their face with their hand when they cough or sneeze and then offer a handshake. We all know that colds and flu are transmitted this way.
Is this a lady writing?
After, it's Andre in Ottawa. So that could be a female or male name, right?
It's not Andrea.
Well, it's A-N-D-R-E-E. Andre? I don't know. I could go either way.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
After hearing complaints, our pastor now asks that we offer a sign of peace. Whatever that was, a
like
peace,
peace sign?
Hold it two hand fingers? Yeah. What? I don't know.
Peace, I told him to hang loose.
You're like Nixon. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm not a crook.
Don't touch me, but hey, peace.
I much prefer this, and I offer a smile and say, boy, I wish I took Latin in high school. La Pax Dei Signor.
La Pax.
God's peace be with you.
Yeah, La Pax
Dei Signor. I butchered the Latin, I'm sure. I apologize for those that know how to say that in Latin. Yeah. However, I never refuse a handshake if one is offered.
Yeah, so, but come on, we shake hands all day long.
And I will
the
say...
The point is, whatever you do during that time should be culturally normal. You know, and it's not that unusual to shake somebody's
hand.
Which
is why I do think that it does feel really weird on a semi-related note to have a shared cup.
Right.
For the wine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a cultural norm anymore. I guess maybe once upon a time it was, but it's not the cultural norm to share glasses with anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
So to have 100 people or 500 people or however large your church is all drinking out of the same vessel.
But they wipe it off with that little towel.
Yeah, but there's that little bit of spittle that comes out there, you know. It's, you know, I wouldn't want to be the last person taking a sip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where is your faith?
Yeah.
Step out of the boat.
Well, I don't think that Scripture tells me I have to take a drink out of a cup that 500 people have just taken a drink out of. So I think I'm probably okay on that one. I don't know. Yeah, but maybe somebody can tell me
you're
otherwise.
You're a literalist. I can tell.
I was asked that question recently, by the way.
Whether or not you're a literalist?
That exact question within a week.
Somebody asked me. It's come up in a couple places recently for me as well. How did it come up for you?
Well,
how'd you answer it?
Yeah, well, I'll give you that because give you the how it came up would take longer than we have left in the show to kind of set the context and the frame it and all that. But at first, I wanted to make sure that we were defining the term.
Yeah.
Which is so my way anyway.
Right.
But I said, you know, that can mean literalist can mean different things
literally
to different people. So I wanted to define the terms, and the person wasn't clear in what I meant by the question when I said, well, how are you defining literalist? So I offered a couple of, you know, major understandings of the word. And then I said, now, if you want to define literalist as somebody who takes all the truths as put forth in the Bible as being literally true, I'm a literalist. But I don't believe that there are certain aspects of the Bible that should be read line for line, word for word, in some sort of wooden, literal way. I mean, some of the stuff is clearly poetry, and you don't read that genre literally. You know, sometimes an eagle is an eagle. Sometimes an eagle is a symbol. You know, see, I think, you know, I think apocalypse needs to be read a certain way.
You mean apocalyptic scripture?
Yeah, I think that historical narrative, I take it as historical narrative, and I believe that those things literally happen, that they're historical truths, because that's the way it's put forth. I think parables are to be understood as, you know, allegory, metaphor, you know, that sort of thing. But that doesn't mean that the truths that are behind what's being conveyed.
So you don't think that there's a beast that's going to come out of the ocean that's going to have 7 heads and 10 horns is literally true?
I wouldn't put it outside the scope of possibility, but that's not how I understand those passages, no.
Yes. But it's so much more exciting to think of it that way. I mean, nobody's going to come to your church if you're such a boring church. I mean, come on, people come for that stuff. I'm kidding.
Well, we were talking, was it off the air or on the air? We were talking about the nudist guys.
It was off the air.
Off the air.
Definitely off the air. Yes.
Well, we should have a nudist church in Frederick, huh?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You just, like, really.
That would get people
that
coming.
That was an interesting direction.
Yeah, keep
once,
it in Frederick.
I'm trying to not take you literally on that.
Yeah. That'd get people coming once,
yes.
Right? Until they got to look at us. And then
they'd at least show up in the parking lot.
Yeah. Now, we have like a minute left, so okay. We're not going to be able to dive into any additional topics.
Okay.
So, parting thoughts or words on the, you know, Dear Abby letter or anything else we've talked about thus far. 30 seconds, closing statement. Why should I vote for you? No, I'm just kidding.
The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love for one another.
Okay. Jonathan, beat that one.
I just think that we need to be very, very relaxed. We just need to relax. You know, there's certain things that we do in church and don't make it into bigger than what it is. You know, if your pastor's manipulating you, then you got to deal with the root issue, not, you know, just some thing that you do
all
every
right.
Sunday morning.
All right, so let's just relax. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor, Crossroads Valley Chapel. Dan Sexton, Senior Pastor at Calvary Chapel in Ellicott City. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner. You've been listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Again, thanks for listening. God bless.